You're listening to the Longbox Crusade Podcast, Episode 3, Star Wars, Issue Number 5 from August 1977. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Longbox Crusade. I'm your host, Pat. The Longbox Crusade is a podcast that covers a single comic book issue chronologically by release date from the over 20 plus long boxes that have been collected over the last 40 years and stashed away in my basement. Each episode, either by myself or with a guest, we will summarize, review, and reminisce about the issue and the time period. We invite you to be a part of the show as well as submitting your comments and memories, which will be read later in the show. The show notes are found at longboxcrusade.com. We hope you can come along with us on this crusade to read them all. Feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or on iTunes. You can also follow the podcast on Facebook at the Longbox Crusade page. All links are in the show notes. Now, before we get started, let's take a quick break for a podcast promo, and then we'll be right back with the show.
Justice League International, Bwahaha Podcast. A new monthly show chronicling the adventures of the JLI era by Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis. We'll be going issue by issue, in release order, tackling the core Justice League title, Justice League Europe, and the quarterly book. Along the way, we'll take time out for special episodes covering various spin-offs, cartoon appearances, the infamous TV pilot, and much more. So join me in an ever-changing roster of guest hosts as we celebrate your favorite JLI members, such as...
Martian Manhunter.
Batman.
Dr. Fate.
Black Canary.
Fire.
Ice.
Maxwell Lord.
Oberon.
Captain Marvel.
Rocket Red.
Captain Atom.
Mr. Miracle.
Guy Gardner.
Booster Gold.
Blue Beetle.
Nort. And many, many more. Justice League International, Bwahaha Podcast, coming March 2016 as part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Want to make something of it?
Welcome back, and I hope you enjoyed the promo for the Justice League International Bwahaha Podcast from a friend of the show, the Irredeemable Shag. It's a great podcast that I have been listening to and enjoy. Now, let's get into the show. Today's adventure from the long box is Star Wars, Issue Number 5, from August 1977. This is the fifth issue of a six-issue story arc that is the comic book adaptation of the movie Star Wars. For more on the history of this series by Marvel, please listen to the episode 2 of the Longbox Crusade. The credits for this issue, according to Mike's Amazing World of Comics website, are published by Marvel, cover date of November 1977, on sale date of August 10, 1977, with a cover price of 35 cents. Writer is Roy Thomas, pencilers Howard Chaykin and Steve Laiola. Inker, Howard Chaykin and Steve Laiola as well. Colorist is Glynis Wein, and I might be pronouncing that wrong, I'm sorry. And the letterer is Tom Orzechowski, and edited by Roy Thomas. The cover credits are penciler Rick Hoberg and inker Dave Cockrum. Now let's take a look at the cover. On the cover, Luke and Chewbacca are running towards Han Solo, who is telling them, "It's too late, kid. We're finished," as the Death Star from space is blasting down at the Millennium Falcon and what looks to be building walls. I like the cover art. It is very eye-catching. If I saw this on the newsstand or spinner rack as a kid, I would buy it, or at least beg my parents to get it for me. But what is deceiving about it now is because the Death Star is actually firing down on the base, but in the movie, you don't see that at all. The Death Star never takes a shot at the Yavin base. Also, you never see a scene with Luke and Chewbacca running towards the Millennium Falcon while on Yavin at all. But the cover does its job and keeps you wanting to open it up to find out what's going to happen on the inside. And let's do that.
This is the story of Star Wars. You can read along with me in your book. You will know it is time to turn the page when you hear R2-D2 beep like this. Let's begin now. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Across the top of the page is the story title, Lo, the Moons of Yavin. The story so far: Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Chewbacca have rescued Princess Leia from her imprisonment on the Galactic Empire's powerful battle station, the Death Star. Now, as Solo's ship, the Millennium Falcon, makes its break for freedom, the question is whether she can stay rescued. Inside the Millennium Falcon, Han is running and yelling back at Luke to come with him as he tells him, "We aren't out of this yet." The story cuts to Luke sitting in a laser cannon chair waiting to begin the fight. He is thinking to himself, "I've never fired this kind of gun before, but I've got to do it. I've got to do it for Ben Kenobi." While on the other side of the Millennium Falcon, Han Solo sits in the other laser cannon chair and is thinking to himself that he hopes that Ben Kenobi's act is not in vain, and he tells Luke to "sit tight, kid, till Darth Vader's stooges attack us." While Princess Leia sits in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon along with Chewie, she is thinking, "This is hopeless. We're outnumbered and outgunned." But she thinks that these characters that rescued her may just pull it off. Just then, Leia's voice comes over the Millennium Falcon and says, "Here comes the TIE fighters." Luke's first shot misses the oncoming TIE fighter, and he thinks to himself that he needs to begin to focus more on the Force as Ben showed him how to do. Otherwise, they're finished. The TIE fighters turn around and come back to attack the Millennium Falcon. Luke tries again to shoot them, but misses again because they are not in range. Han tells him to keep trying, kid. Here they come again. Luke tells Han, "They are coming in too fast." And at that moment, two TIE fighters dive simultaneously at the top of the Millennium Falcon, trying to line up their shot. They fire twin energy bolts. One of the energy bolts hits the Millennium Falcon and strikes the side of the ship, which overloads the ray deflectors. Though still partially deflected, it still carries enough power to blow out a large control panel nearby Leia and Chewbacca in the cockpit. Just then, one of the TIE fighters moves into Luke's sight. He begins to fire at it, but misses. As the TIE fighter dodges, it goes underneath the Millennium Falcon, where it is struck by Han's laser cannon and explodes. Han yells, "We did it, kid!" and gives the thumbs up. A moment later, another TIE fighter enters Luke's sight. Luke relaxes and fires at it. This time it works, and the TIE fighter explodes, and Luke grins at Han. Han yells back, "We're not out of this woods yet, Sonny. There are still three more of them." Luke fires again and says over the headset, "Correction, two." Leia reminds them that they have still lost the lateral controls for the starboard deflector shield. Han says, "Don't worry, she'll hold together. You hear me, ship? Hold together." As the two remaining TIE fighters come in to attack, Han tells Chewie to try and keep them on the port side of the Millennium Falcon. The two TIE fighters swing back around to make another attack run at the Millennium Falcon. One of the TIE fighters finds itself in Han's gun sights, and he fires, instantly destroying it. At the same moment, the remaining TIE fighters head for the defenseless side where Luke is. Luke begins to fire at it. As he continues to fire, just before it passes out of range, Luke takes one final shot and destroys the TIE fighter. Inside the Millennium Falcon, Leia, Han, and Luke run to meet each other in celebration. Han asks Leia, "What's that droid carrying that's so important anyway?" Leia tells him that it is the technical readouts of the battle station, and that she only hopes that when the data is analyzed, its weakness can be found. She feels the escape was too easy. We cut back to the Death Star and see Darth Vader informing Governor Tarkin that the ship just jumped to hyperspace. Tarkin explains to Vader that he has taken a grave chance letting the ship go and asks if the homing beacon is secure aboard their ship so they can follow them to where it may go, which will hopefully be the main rebel base. Vader tells him, "Have no fear. This will be a day long remembered. It has seen the end of the last of the Jedi Knights, and soon, very soon, it will see the end of the rebellion itself." Back aboard the Millennium Falcon in hyperspace, Han and Leia are discussing why she thinks the escape was too easy. She tells Han that they just let us escape. They know we will take R2-D2 straight to the rebel base, and they want it to follow them there. "I only hope that the data in R2 can be analyzed quickly so that we can fight back." Han tells her to cut that wee stuff, princess. "I'm not doing this for your revolution, and I'm not doing this for you. I'm expected to be paid. well paid. Leia tells him, you needn't worry about your reward. If money is all that you love, that is what you will receive. Han says, what else is there? And waits for a response back, but does not get one from Leia. Leia turns to talk to Luke and comments that she wonders if Han really cares about anything or anybody. Luke thinks to himself, I do, princess. I care. Leia leaves the cockpit, and once she disappears to the main hold area, Luke says, what do you think of her, Han? Han responds back, I try not to. Luke says, quietly, good. But Han overhears the comment and says, still, she's got a lot of spirit. Do you think it's possible for a princess and a guy like me? Luke tells him, no. Han smiles at Luke's jealousy and thinks to himself if he meant to bait his friend or if he really means it. A while later, we cut to the Millennium Falcon flying over the treetops of one of the inhabitable moons of Yavin. Among the forest of gargantuan trees, an ancient temple lies shrouded in an eerie mist. We see a small land speeder shuttle carrying the crew of the Millennium Falcon enter the ancient temple and speed past several hangars of one-man fighter spacecrafts. The speeder comes to a stop. A cluster of people nearby stop talking to each other and rush towards the passengers that just got out. One of the people rushing towards the speeder is Commander Willard. He yells, Princess Leia, thank the stars that you are safe. We feared the worst. We heard that Alderaan being destroyed, and we were afraid that you were lost along with the planet and your father. Leia tells him that they do not have time for sorrows and that the Death Star was probably tracking them here. She says, we must use the information stored in the R2 unit to plan our attack against it, as it is our only hope. Soon, deep inside the temple, General Jan Dudana gives an urgent briefing to a group of fighter pilots with the plans that were retrieved from R2. Han and Chewie are in the back of the room. Chewie lets out a growl. Han tells him, you said it, Chewie. Maybe Luke went crazy and joined the rebel pilots, but we're getting out of here as soon as they give us our reward. General Jan begins to tell the pilots, the battle station called the Death Star is heavily shielded and carries more firepower than half of the Galactic Starfleet. Fortunately, the battle station defenses are designed around a large-scale assault, and small one-man fighter should be able to penetrate its defenses screen. An analysis of the plans provided by Princess Leia have revealed a weakness in the station. There is a small unshielded thermal exhaust port that runs directly into the reactor system. A direct hit on it should set up a chain reaction that will destroy the station. Unfortunately, the target is only 2 meters across, and you will have to hit it with your proton torpedoes. One of the pilots says, hit a 2-meter target at a maximum speed? That's impossible, even for the computer. Luke tells him, no, it isn't. I used to bullseye womp rants in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters. General Jan tells them, their approach will not be easy. They must maneuver straight down the shaft, which circles the station. You must level off in the trench there and skim the surface to the precise target area. And remember, only a direct hit has a hope of destroying the Death Star before it destroys the moon and hope of the rebellion. Now man your ships, and may the Force be with you. As Luke reaches his assigned ship, Princess Leia is there waiting. She asks Luke if he is sure if this is what he wants to do. He tells her more than anything. Then what's wrong? She asks. It's Han. I thought he'd change his mind. She says, a man must follow his own path. No one can choose it for him. Luke agrees, but wishes Ben was there. They hold hands, and Leia gives Luke a kiss and says, may the Force be with you, Luke.
Blah.
Not again. As Luke is by the spaceship, a hand grabs his shoulder and says, Luke, I don't believe it. How'd you get mixed up in this? Luke turns and says, Biggs, I thought you'd be around here somewhere. Have I got some stories to tell you, old buddy? We get an editor's note that says, Luke's childhood chum from issue number 1. That's who Biggs is. Then another fighter pilot walks up to Luke and says, are you Luke Skywalker? Luke says, I sure am, Blue Leader. He asks Luke if he has been checked out on the Incom T-65. Luke begins to say, well, not exactly, but Biggs says, Sir Luke here is the best bush pilot in the Outer Rim territories. I'll vouch for him. Blue Leader says, Outer Rim? Skywalker, of course. I met your father once when I was just a boy. He was a great pilot. If you have got half of your father's skills, you will do better than all right, Luke says. I'll try, sir. Blue Leader continues to say, the galaxy will be a lot better off when the sons of the original Jedi Knights are back on the scene. Luke responds with a thank you, sir. Biggs tells Luke that he has to get aboard his ship and says, you'll tell me your stories when we get back, all right? Luke says, I told you I'd make it someday, Biggs. Biggs replies, you made it all right. It's going to be like old times, little buddy. We're a couple of shooting stars that will never be stopped. May the Force be with you. And Luke replies, and with you, Biggs. Luke begins to board his fighter as the crew are lowering R2-D2 into the ship. C-3PO says, now you hold on tight, R2. You got to come back. You wouldn't want my life to get boring, would you? One of the crewmen says to Luke, this R2 unit of yours seems a little beat up. Do you want a new one? Luke tells him, no, not on your life. This droid and I have been through a lot. All secure, R2? R2 makes a bleep noise, and Luke responds back with, then let's get cracking. That must be some space slang for let's get going. We cut to see Princess Leia standing silently before the huge display screen on which Yavin and its many moons are depicted. Several other officers are around as well, staring at the screen. On the screen, it is a large red dot that moves steadily towards the fourth of the satellites. One of the commanders says, the Red Princess represents the progress of the Imperial Death Star as it moves deeper into the Yavin system. Princess Leia asks, how long, Commander, before it will be able to fire on us and destroy this world? No more than half an hour, he says, and now the ships are away. The next moment, the thundering sound of ion rockets are heard over the treetops as a stream of silver starships catapult from the foliage in a tight formation to disappear into the morning cloud cover. Blue Leader comes over to the comlink.
Blue Boys, this is Blue Leader. Adjust your selectors and check in. Approaching target in 1.3 parsecs. And now it's do or die.
There is an editor's box saying, or perhaps both, Blue Leader. Perhaps both. That's the end of this story so far. Next issue, the final chapter. I enjoyed rereading this story. It has been a long time since I had read this comic. Probably the last time I read it was in my early teens. Sure, I looked at the cover here and there as I would reorganize my long boxes, but I never opened these Star Wars comics up and looked at the stories and the art inside for a long time. I know the story, I watched the movie, on TV, VHS, and yes, I have them on Laserdisc. Does anybody remember Laserdisc? It was the size of a 12-inch vinyl record and looked like a CD or DVD. The video and sound quality was awesome. It was pure uncompressed digital video and sound. I have a milk crate full of Laserdisc movies. Send me a comment if you want to know what movies I have. I might even post some pictures of them if asked. I still got the Laserdisc player and hook it up every now and then when I get the itch to watch one of the movies. Man, I miss those old days. Life was so much simpler. As for the art, I enjoyed it as well. I have no complaints about the art in this issue. This was all I had to look at when I was a kid for a long time if I wanted to remember Star Wars. I look at it this way. If I can glance through the issue just looking at the art and understanding the story, then I do not have a problem with the art. When it comes down to it, I'm just a simple comic book fan that loves the stories and adventures they tell through the writing and the art. Reading through these Star Wars comics makes me want to hook up the Laserdisc player and watch this movie again. Yeah, I got it on DVD, but come on, I got it on Laserdisc. Why not kick it old school? Well, that brings us to the end of this part of the show. Got a comment or question? Send us an email at contact@longboxcrusade.com or make a comment on the Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Star Wars, give me those Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars, don't let them end. Star Wars. Star Wars, those nerds. Star Wars, talking about Star Wars on a podcast.
I'm Ryan Daly, and welcome to...
And I'm the Irredeemable Shag.
Dude, what are you doing?
What?
Give Me Those Star Wars is my show.
Well, you're part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network, so it's really our show.
But if you show up on the promo, people will think you're the co-host.
I'm not?
No, the show will have rotating guests.
You just took that idea from my Justice League International podcast.
You took that idea from my Secret Origins podcast.
And you took that idea from Dead, Both, and Spies.
That was my podcast.
Wait a minute. I sang the theme song with you.
So?
So, technically, I appear on every episode. I'm part of the foundation of this new Star Wars show.
That's true.
So, you want to take this from the top, or what?
I'm Ryan Daly. Join me and a galaxy of guest stars on Give Me Those... including the Irredeemable Shag, whose voice you will technically hear on every episode, on Give Me Those Star Wars.
The official Star Wars show of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Available on iTunes and Stitcher and at fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the promo for Give Me Those Star Wars podcast from a friend of the show, Ryan Daly. It's a great podcast that is all about Star Wars, both old and new. I've been enjoying listening to it. Give it a try and let me know what you think. Now it's time to scan through the issue for any ads that stand out and deserve a shout out in a segment I call Add It Up.
Add it up. Add it up.
In this issue, there are two ads for selling items for prizes or cash. And we'll get to a comment later on in the comment section from somebody that actually did that. Also, two ads for bodybuilding, not as many as there were last time. And there are some ads for buying and selling comics. Also, the same ad for the Daisy BB guns featuring the Daisy 1938 Red Ryder that was in the last episode's issue. There's a house ad to subscribe to Marvel's comics for 12 issues. 6 titles for the price of 5. Not a bad deal. There's a full-page ad for Crazy David's Mail Order T-Shirt Company. Buy any T-shirt shown for only $4. That includes all mailing and handling. Wow. You cannot get a T-shirt nowadays for under $20, and you still have to pay shipping and handling. If I had a $4 back then, as a kid, then I would probably have bought the cool Starsky and Hutch t-shirt. Do you remember the car that they drove around in? That car was cool. I remember seeing it around town as a kid and at a few car shows. Someone must have had that same make and model and painted it to look like their car. I also saw the General Lee and a DeLorean. I think if I win the lottery, I would buy a DeLorean. Let me know what you think. What kind of car would you get from your childhood if you had the money? There is also a full-page, 6-panel story of Spider-Man catching the criminal Legal Eagle with the only one thing that would stop him, a web full of Hostess cupcakes. I know that would stop me from committing a crime. There is another ad for The Secret of Teaching Yourself Music with guitar, piano, or a spint organ. I've been trying to teach myself guitar over the last few years with the help of the internet. Finally, on the back cover, there is an ad for Spalding Basketballs. It is in a comic form and features Rick Barry and Dr. J. I don't know who Rick Barry is, but I know Dr. J. That's going to be about it for the ads of this issue. Do you have a comment on this? Let me know. Email contact@longboxcrusade.com or comment on the Facebook page. Now let's continue. It's time to set the clocks back and go way back in time.
Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
What famous date shall I set it to today, Mr. Peabody?
August 1977.
Got it.
History notes for this time. At the time of this issue, I was about 4 years old. Gas prices were 65 cents, and an average cost of a new house was $49,300. Not bad for a house. Some major news at the time. The Clash released their first album, The Clash. Also, the first Apple II computer went on sale. Here's a little breakdown of the timeline of that. On April 16th, unlike the original Apple I, which was just a circuit board and no cases, etc., the Apple II was a leap forward, including a case, keyboard, power supply, and nearly everything except a screen to have a working personal computer, making them available to a much wider audience. Also, on April 16th, the Apple II was introduced at the first West Coast Computer Fair. On June 5th, the Apple II goes on sale for base price of $1,298, raising to $2,638 depending on the installed memory. The Apple II series of computers with refinements and upgrades were produced until production ceased in November 1993. Also during this year, the World Trade Center in New York is completed. The U.S. population reaches 216 million. Navistar Global Positioning System, GPS, inaugurated by U.S. Department of Defense. And the King, Elvis Presley, dies at the age of 42 from a heart attack on August 16th. Popular films at this time, A Star is Born, Saturday Night Fever, and King Kong. The top three songs according to Billboard at this time were number 3, Best of My Love, The Emotions. Number 2, I'm In You, Peter Frampton. And number 1, I Just Want to Be Your Everything by Andy Gibb. That brings us to the end of this part of the show. Got a comment or question? Send us an email at contact@longboxcrusade.com or make a comment on the Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Yo, Joe!
We'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe, American hero. G.I. Joe is there.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra and Destro, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe, American hero, G.I. Joe is there.
Attention, Joes, this is General Hawk. I have an important mission for you. I need you to listen to G.I. Joe, a real American headcast. It's a monthly podcast where Aaron Moss, codename Head, and two other Joes, Ryan Daly and Kyle Benning, will be reporting on the comic book G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero. Previously published by Marvel, currently being published by IDW Comics. We'll also cover the special missions, the yearbooks, order battles, etc. To hear their message, report to G.I.Joe.HeadSpeaks.com or iTunes or Stitcher Radio. You can get further information at Facebook, Google+, and Twitter. All under G.I. Joe, A Real American Headcast. Dismissed.
Now we know!
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
G.I. Joe, A Real American Headcast, is a proud member of the Headcast family.
The world. He never gives up, he'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare.
G.I. Joe!
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the promo for G.I. Joe, A Real American Headcast podcast from a friend of the show, Aaron Head Moss. It's a great podcast that is all about the G.I. Joe comics. I've been enjoying listening to it. Give it a try and let me know what you think. You can hear me make a brief comment on the issue that was covered in the extra part of episode 11. Thanks, Aaron, Ryan, Kyle, and Adam for letting me sit in on the show. Now let's get to your comments, emails, and questions in a segment I call Crusade Comments. First up are the iTunes reviews. Please take a moment to write a review on iTunes for this podcast. It helps get the show noticed, and we'll share your review on the show. Our first and only review so far for this episode is from Carfunka. He gives us a 5-star. Thank you, Carfunka. And the title says, "Great job." His review comment is, "It was a very good one, Spidey." 3 smiley faces and a thumbs up. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Carfunka. I appreciate the review. Keep on listening. I'm sure it will be a good one. Next up are the comments from the website, email, and social media sites. Unfortunately, I have no comments from the website this week, so let's check on the Facebook page. From the Facebook page, we have a comment from Aaron Head Moss on Episode 2, Star Wars, Issue Number 4. Aaron says, "Great episode, Pat. I too had these first couple issues. I got like the first 4 issues. I think it was in the late 70s or early 80s, bagged together at a local supermarket, Red's Market in Chowchilla, California." Sorry if I butcher that. "Great comic, great movie." Aaron goes on to say, "As far as the ads, I had participated in selling stuff for prizes gig. I think it was Olympia or something. I sold greeting cards and other stationery accessories. I only did it a couple times. I forgot what I all ended up getting, but I seem to remember enjoying the stuff." He says, "I think I got a model rocket from there. It's been about over 30 years since I did." Aaron says, "Anyway, keep up the great job, Pat." I responded back to Aaron's comment saying, "Thanks for the feedback, Aaron. Olympia was one of the ads. I wanted to participate also in selling for prizes, but did not do so because I had a hard time just trying to sell candy bars as a Boy Scout." Aaron then replies, "Oh, growing up, I was a hell of a salesman. Sold candy for Boy Scouts, Royal Rangers, churches I belonged to. I'd sell my grandma if I could have gotten away with it." That was a good one, Aaron. And now for the Facebook likes and shares. Please take the time to like the show on Facebook and share it. It helps get the word out about the show, and I appreciate it. Here's the likes that we've received so far. First is Pat Sampson. Hey, that's me. Don't judge me. I had to make sure that the like button worked. Aaron Head Moss, Shag Matthews, Jonathan Hams, and Michael Bailey. Facebook shares come from Shag Matthews. Thanks to everyone for the likes and the shares. And that's the show. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Long Box Crusade. The Long Box Crusade podcast comes out every 2 weeks. Got a comment or question? Email us at contact@longboxcrusade.com or leave a comment on the Facebook page. Until next time, take care. And please join us for the next episode as we continue on the crusade to read them all.
Up on your hook someday, you know I'll walk that line. Meanwhile, I bought another book today to help me pass the time here while I wait.
Yes, and
I will wait.
Okay, you've already said that about 12 times.
I will wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. Cause I'm a waiter. I'm a waiter. It's getting later, later, later.
All songs, sound clips, and characters discussed are copyright of their respective copyright holder, and no infringement is intended. I make no money making this podcast. It is purely made for entertainment purposes and to bring back memory of a time that I loved.